All right, I'm recording.
All right, me too.
Yep.
Wanna do the clap?
Gotta do some vocal warm-ups real quick.
Right.
Red leather, yellow leather. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Clap. All right. Hey, everyone. This is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic.
All right. Cayman, what is up? Happy Easter, dude.
Yeah, I honestly, let me tell you, I did not realize that it was Easter until like maybe 30 minutes ago.
Oh.
I was like just hanging out, and then I was like scrolling through like online, and people were talking about Easter, and I was like, shit, is that today?
Oh no. Does that mean you guys don't have any plans?
I mean, Elena works all day today, so
we didn't really
have a choice.
Yeah.
Obviously, it won't be Easter when this episode comes out, but hopefully our audience had a good Easter as well.
Yes, yes. Dude, I don't have any plans either. That's what happens when you move to a new place with no one you know.
Yeah. On previous Easters, Elaine and I, we have a bunch of those, like, cheap little plastic eggs, and we would just, like, buy a bunch of bags of candy and then, like, take turns. Like, I would have her, like, sit in the bedroom for 30 minutes, and then I'd go around the rest of the house and hide a bunch of eggs and then have her find them, and then I would sit in the bedroom and then she would rehide all the eggs so I had to find them.
That's cute. Good for you, bro. Except for not this year. So
not this year. Maybe after I get off work tomorrow, because I get off work at 5, so we'll still have a little bit of time, but she doesn't get off until like 8, which means she won't be home until like 8:30 or 8:40.
You can always hide some eggs just in case.
That's true. We might just have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I don't have any plans, so that's that.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go flying again. I finally fixed my glider, so
yeah.
We're back up and running.
Try not to slam into the ground again.
Man, yeah, probably not a good idea. But it was fun fixing it, dude. It was an experience, you know. It's not the first time I fixed a broken plane. So, yeah.
So, is there like a specific park where people are flying, or is it just like, there's probably regulations, I would assume, on things like that.
Yeah, there's an FAA regulation, a Federal Aviation Administration, and then there's the AI, there's another club that you have to be a part of.
I'm saying, like, is there a specific, like, airspace that you're allowed to fly in?
It depends on where you are. So there's this app, it's called Before You Fly, and you'll basically log in with your credentials that you have from those other two accounts, and you literally note to Big Brother watching above where you're going to fly and if it's okay to fly there, because it'll show you like air spaces around you, and if you're in a restricted airspace, you can't fly there. Yeah. But I mostly go to these two state parks. One of them actually is a restricted airspace, but the airstrip that's inside the state park is like grandfathered in. And so like when you're flying, you can't fly over 400 feet because there are actual real planes landing above you around 600 feet. So like you're flying your little model or plane, then like a real Learjet flies right above you and you're like, holy shit. It's kind of cool. But does
your plane have a camera on it?
Hell no. No.
Would it be able to fly if you like attached a GoPro or something?
Yep. The guy that had it before me actually had like these attachment points on it that I took off where he would attach cameras.
Why'd you take them off?
Because I don't want to put a camera on it.
Bruh, you could get some sick footage.
You probably definitely, 100% you could, but it would also ruin the aerodynamics. And I'm all about the aerodynamics, dude, and trying to find.
All right. I would definitely put a camera on mine if I had one.
You could get one.
There's too many trees around here. There's not like clear flying space.
I mean, all you have to do is Google like RC flight field around me, and then there's going to be a patch where there's like no trees.
If I was going to get a drone, it would be one of the like helicoptery ones that can just hover.
Yeah, yeah. There's a, like, next to us, there's like a little area for them to fly. There's things too, the POVs. But yeah, dude, it's pretty lit.
Pretty lit.
Alrighty, so what are we talking about today?
So today we are continuing our adventure through the MCU. And this time we are going to be talking about Captain America, the First Avenger.
Nice.
This movie came out in 2011.
Damn, 11 years ago.
Yeah. Before we get into this movie, we are going to, I'm going to introduce a new segment here for this series, which I'm going to call the Marvel Minute, where we're going to talk about all of the movies that we have skipped over to get here. Because as I said on the last episode, we're not going to watch every single Marvel movie.
Right.
So we're going to, so we're going to take a second and talk about the movies that we're not talking about.
Oh, awesome. Let's go.
All right. So as I said, this movie came out in 2011 and our last movie, Iron Man, came out in 2008. Between those two movies, there were three others. We had The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, and the first Thor movie.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen The Hulk. I feel like I have. But dude, if I have, it's been so long. And what were the other two? Iron Man 2. I don't know if I've seen it. Maybe. I think I've seen Iron Man 2. Let me Google it. What was the other one?
Thor.
I think I have seen Thor, yeah.
The Incredible Hulk movie. The first one was a little weird. It had Edward Norton in it. Mark Ruffalo plays the Hulk throughout the rest of the MCU, but the first movie they had Edward Norton.
Okay.
But because I don't know if the story is that the reason Edward Norton left the role is because he is notorious for wanting to have a lot of control over the movies that he's in.
Oh.
And apparently for The Incredible Hulk, he disagreed with Marvel over the final edit of the film. So they did not invite him back after that.
No shot. That is hilarious. Wait, who did Edward Norton play in the first?
He played Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner.
The person that turns into the Hulk.
Oh. See, that shit always confuses me, like where they can just change like actors in like a series.
I mean,
like Spider-Man, yeah, I don't understand that shit.
The other thing about the Hulk is that technically the film rights for the Hulk as a character still belong to Universal Pictures. And so Marvel like isn't allowed to make a solo Hulk movie. Like Universal made the first movie, and then because this was only the second Marvel movie that came out, and so they were like, they tied it in because they're like, what the heck. But then once Marvel started like getting up and going and they were like became their own production studio, and they didn't need to have their movies distributed by a different company, they didn't want to have Universal movies just out there, and so they were like, well, we can't make our own Hulk movie, and we don't want to have to work with Universal for them to make a Hulk movie. So the way they got around that is they're like, the Hulk is in the MCU, but he is only in other people's movies. Like, he can be in team-up movies like the Avengers, or he can be like a side character in like Thor Ragnarok. But
does that make any sense to you? I feel like it does.
Marvel can't make their own Hulk movie.
that's weird. That's very weird.
It is a little weird. But basically, like, what you need to know about the Hulk is Bruce Banner is a doctor, and he got some gamma radiation. And I believe as part of the MCU story, it was had something to do with the military trying to reinvigorate the super soldier program, which we're going to be talking about as part of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned into the Hulk, which it happens with, like, he gets angry and then he turns into a giant green monster.
Okay. Well,
and then so in Iron Man 2, actually a similar thing happens. Do you remember Tony Stark's friend James Rhodes. He calls him Rhodey.
Yeah.
So in Iron Man 2, he was also recast. So from Iron Man 2 onward, Rhodey is played by Don Cheadle.
Oh, just a switch up.
Just a switch up. There's actually a pretty funny scene where Tony is in a courtroom and Rhodey walks in and everyone's like surprised to see him. And he's like, it's me. I'm here. Get over it. Kind of a thing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, get over it.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from Iron Man 2 is Rhodey gets his own suit and becomes the War Machine. And we are introduced to Black Widow, who is part of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then the Thor movie is Thor gets his powers taken away. Is sent to Earth, falls in love with a woman named Jane Foster, and then when he saves them, he earns his powers back. And there's like a separate thing with Loki where they find out that Loki finds out that he was actually adopted by Odin. He was actually the son of a frost giant from a different world.
Golly, dude, this is so confusing.
Feel free to ask any questions. I'm here for you.
What?
But Loki hatches a plan to help the Frost Giants break into Asgard, but only so that he can defeat them, so that he like can prove himself to Odin that he is like a worthy son.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen this movie actually, with like this giant ring, and then like there's this gate watcher guy or gatekeeper. Yes. Or keykeeper. Yep, yep. I forget his name.
That okay. Is Heimdall, Lord.
He's gatekeeper, right? That's his title.
Yeah, he's in charge. He is the sentry of the Bifrost Bridge.
Okay. Yes, that guy.
Which is that big like rainbow thing that teleports everyone ever. Yeah, his name is Heimdall. He can see and hear pretty much everything in the galaxy.
That's insane. Imagine.
Yeah. So, but. Now that we've gone through that and everyone has a rough idea.
Everyone totally understands completely.
People that have seen the movies understand.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I actually, when I watched them, I never understood how they all fit together. It just didn't make any sense to me. So I was literally just watching them as a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that works pretty well for the first like six of them. I think after a while, you can't really watch like Infinity War as its own movie. You have to know what came before it.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think I've watched it as just a movie.
How on earth did you keep up with anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can fill in the gaps with imagination. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, today we are talking about Captain America: The First Avenger. This movie had an estimated budget of $140 million. And they made about $370 million.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
That's actually less than I thought they would make, quite honestly.
What did you think about Captain America?
I thought it was a fun watch. I think give me a few years and I'd watch it again, maybe. Probably not. Okay. But I don't know. Like I've seen it before and I saw it again and like it wasn't boring, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a cool character, like some dude that, you know, got, injected and then like his whole body changed in like this crazy radioactive way. And then he was like the superhuman. And I feel like it's something that like a lot of people can relate to, not turning into a superhuman, but the person that he was before, which was like this scrawny, you know, just a good guy in general, not a douchebag, basically.
Yeah, I think it's like, obviously, the idea is that Steve Rogers is like the prime example of what everyone wants to be. Like at the beginning of the movie, he doesn't have like he's short, he's scrawny and weak, like you said, but he's like he's 100% heart. Like his entire character is just he cares so much about everything.
Yeah.
And so they give him the super soldier serum to like make his body match his attitude.
Mm, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously we all can't be as perfect as Steve Rogers.
Yeah, I feel like they use Captain America as like a symbol of what America is, whereas in reality, it's definitely not like that. But we like to perceive America as being that attitude.
Yeah, and I know throughout the comics, there have been other Captain America-esque characters. Knock like offs. I think they're not necessarily knockoffs, but yeah, pretty much. There's like. They had a Captain Britain. I think what? there was one for
Captain Germany.
Yes, there is a Captain Germany.
No shot. Oh my god.
I mean he's known as Vormund, but he is also called I'm not going to pronounce this, but German for Captain Germany. It's Haupt. Mann. How do you say that?
Hauptmann.
Yep.
Hauptmann means like a main man. That's like direct translation.
So Hauptmann Deutschland.
Oh, Hauptmann Deutschland. Oh my god, that sounds awful.
That's his official title.
Oh no. This man needs a name change. Okay. 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 Interesting. I guess
but yeah, that's so from the comics
though, right?
Yeah, that is from the comics. He has not made an appearance in the MCU. But there was, like I said, there are several countries that have their own sort of Captain America person.
Okay. Well, what did you think about the movie? Because we kind of got off track there.
I thought it was good. I think as a solo movie, maybe not quite as strong as Iron Man, but the story was good.
Okay. I think I would agree with that. It was not as strong as Iron Man. I think I'd definitely watch Iron Man more. And I think that's just because of like the gadgets and, you know, the futuristic look. I feel like it's really hard every time. Yeah,
it's hard because this is 99.9% of this movie is set during World War II. And so it's just like it's not as fun because it's not modern.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like it's always hard, like especially also in video games, whenever they make something that's in the past, like World War II video games and all that stuff with like the old, you know, Tommy gun and shellings and all that stuff. It's like,
yeah,
it's hard for people to enjoy it.
Because the first Call of Duty World at War, people were all over that shit. Wait, you ever play that one? Call of Duty World at War.
I think I have played that.
That was the first Call of Duty game that had zombie mode.
Yes. I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fun, but you know, it's hard to do, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So let us do this thing where we are going to step into the boxing ring.
Oh, let's do it.
You want to go first or would you like me to go first?
Sure, I'll go first so I don't take it away from you. Let's see here. Steve Rogers, a man who wants to represent America and fight the war, has too many sicknesses to be enlisted. However, he has the spirit of America in him. He meets a scientist and gets selected for a superhuman project and turns into America's battling ram and symbol to fight against the evils of the regime. The evil regime.
All right. I will say, after several times of being rejected to join the army during World War II, Steve Rogers is selected to be the subject of a super soldier program that will allow him to be a symbol and help win a war. The war? Help win? Well, he doesn't really help win like World War II. It's like a separate thing.
Yeah.
That will help him defeat a secret villain. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay. It's not really a secret villain, though, is he?
Not in this movie. I mean, I was trying to get like secret, as in like not Hitler. Like he's like separate from the rest of the war.
Yeah, that's why I put the regime. I didn't want to name anyone because I didn't know his title. It was like Red Skull or something.
Yeah.
I add Red Skull my title, my thingy.
Here's what we got. During World War II, Steve Rogers is a sickly man from Brooklyn who is transformed into Super Soldier Captain America to aid in the war effort. Rogers must stop the Red Skull, Adolf Hitler's ruthless head of weaponry and the leader of an organization that intends to use a mysterious device of untold powers for world domination.
Okay.
That's a tough one. I feel like neither of us really got that.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to say, I did say I added Red Skull into my excerpt there after I said Red Skull because I just remembered it. You know, came in.
Does that count if you threw it in after?
I mean, it was before you read the thing, right? Hmm. You were talking about like, what's
that? Yeah, but you were just like, oh, shit, keywords and you were just like, Red Skull. I'm going to just say Red Skull.
Red Skull, and I added it in the excerpt, you know? I went back and I like edited it in.
Hmm. Well, you did say that he had multiple sicknesses, and this does say he is a sickly man.
I know, a sickly man. Who says that?
Yeah. Neither of us mentioned Brooklyn. I did mention World War II, though, and I don't think you gave a specific time.
Well, the regime.
That's vague.
The only regime is Hitler, no? Regime is like the name of like the Hitler army.
Is it?
But you did say World War II. Yeah. Yeah, the regime.
Well, I've never heard it referred to as that.
Well, I have, and all the World War II documentaries.
Well, either way, I think this is a perfect opportunity for anyone listening, if you'd like to let us know who you think won that one.
Because I definitely did, because I added Red Skull at the end. Just kidding. All right,
well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and get into our serious thoughts.
Yes.
Wow.
And we're back.
Coming back.
anyway, regarding the movie,
I'm going to start with a negative, I think.
Good.
And I feel like I kind of understand why they went this route, but it was a little weird to me that Hydra was like so purposely separated from the Nazis. You know what I mean? They mention a few times that it's like, the weaponry division of Hitler. And they'll like offhandedly mention the Fuhrer. I think they only say Hitler and the Fuhrer like once or twice throughout the whole movie. And they I don't think they ever say, they say Nazi twice as well. But very rarely do they actually talk about like real world War II.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
But none of like the Hydra uniforms, like none of them have swastikas on them. Like they're completely separate. And rather than doing the like, you know, the one handed salute with the open palm, they have like this weird two fisted salute.
Yeah.
It's just like everything is very Nazi adjacent.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what the Red Skull was, though, you know. Homie was.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And he thought he was better than Hitler. And he had more of a purpose and all that jazz.
To me, I feel like it would have made more sense if it was like in the beginning, they were all like wearing Nazi uniforms and being normal. And then, like, as he gained more power, then he was like, nah, fuck the Nazis. I'm going to make my own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He was like, I can be better and stronger and.
But it seemed like he already had like his own super powerful organization at the beginning of the movie.
That's true. And I feel like it's already been underway for a while, no?
I mean the entire war was only like 8 years.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. It was very developed, whatever they had going.
I feel like someone's gonna get mad at me for not knowing how long World War II lasted.
Well, I mean, it depends. There are soft dates, right? They're not like hard dates, really. It's debated about. Technically, they say World War II was like roughly 6 years long, but I feel like it's like a soft date. You know, it obviously ended in September 1945.
Yeah.
But like the start date, I know it was 39, but I feel like shit was already brewing kind of before that. I don't know. But.
All right. Okay. So a second negative. This isn't all going to be negatives. I did like this movie, but I think that it wasn't all the time, but in some of the shots with Scrawny Steve, it felt like his head was a little too big for his body.
Too big. Yes. He looked like he was a baby. You know how babies have really big heads?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100% agree with that. It was he was like a bobblehead walking around.
It was a little weird, but I understand it was a whole process, I'm sure, to get the visual effects to make him look like that. So
yeah, that's fair. But still, they could have shrunk his head a little bit. I don't know. Or maybe they were just like, that's what they wanted to do to make it like exaggerated, like even smaller than natural. I don't know.
Do you have any notes?
I do. Let me see if, like, I wrote them chronologically. I kind of do want to say that the weaponry that the Red Skull had and was using, to me, was a little bit cringe. Like lasers that could like disintegrate you, like on impact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little bit of a fucking stretch. I don't know. That was just like that, like one big thing that kept happening in the movie where like subconsciously I was like, dude, like this is World War II era and there's no way. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think?
Well, because the energy weapons were, I don't know. It's because it all happened so quickly. It felt a little weird. And there's so many montages, and so I'm not certain like how long this movie is supposed to take place over. Like, is it like a month? Is it like a couple years? I don't know. But from what I understood, all of his energy weapons were based off of the power that he got from the Tesseract, which was that blue cube.
Right.
So it's like, obviously in real world, like 1940s, they wouldn't have had that technology, but if you put like some random cosmic device in there, like that's what allowed him to make those energy weapons.
Okay. I mean, that makes, I get that, but at the same time, they could have made that a lot less cringe. I don't know. I did not like it at all that these guns just like if it was like you'd get shot and like it would blow right through you kind of thing and like leave a giant hole. Sure.
Well, I think also part of it was just like because evaporating into blue dust is a little more PG-13 friendly than like actually shooting people. Although there is one scene later in the movie where someone goes through a propeller and it's like just a huge splash of blood. And I was like, oh, my God, like I completely forgot that part was in this movie.
Yeah, kind of like counteracts the PG-13 vibe.
But that's I think that's probably the bloodiest scene in the movie.
I mean, it's pretty bloody. That's for damn sure. Let's see here. Well, another thing that was kind of cringe to me was the amount of shots the soldiers miss. I feel like that's always a really big like annoyance for me when we have like war movies and like everyone is like emptying their clips and like shooting at each other and like no one is dying and like the bullets are whizzing by and I like.
Well, I,
it was funny because when the soldiers were running and shooting back at the prisoners escaping the first time, right?
Yeah,
the soldiers were shooting them with their lasers. We're missing and then once or twice someone fell down, but then when it was the Red Skull guy, the leader, bro, he was running and he was like shooting backwards with a pistol and he hit every single shot. And I'm like, you can't show your trained soldiers. Say what?
I was like, because he's a baller.
Yeah, he is a baller. I mean, he is a superhuman, but I don't think that should improve your aim.
I don't know. I guess I kind of thought about it, but like, you're right. Like, obviously none of the main characters are ever really in danger. Like, there's like several scenes where it's like someone just like walking down a hallway and the bad guys are shooting and missing them completely. But then you have in like bigger scenes when they have like 30 people, then they're like, oh, we'll just like some of the extras in the background will die so that it looks like people are getting shot. But none of the people we care about are going to get shot.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like in a movie where it's like you're trying to make an impact and stuff like that, why not? You know, like just let him lose a leg. I don't know. Like,
lose or an even arm. If he like got shot and like fell down and they had to carry him back and like they took the bullet out and he survived. Like, he doesn't have to die, but you can go down on a battlefield and not be dead.
Right, right. And I feel like that's like a big misconception that kids nowadays have of like these movies is like that you're invincible and bullets really don't ever hit you and no one dies. And I don't agree with that. I feel like make it real. Kill some of the characters that we really enjoy, you know, like just kill them off.
Well, I mean, they kind of do that with Bucky later in the movie.
Wait, who's Bucky?
His best friend.
Oh, true. But I didn't really like him.
Oh, really?
You know who they should have killed off? The agent.
Agent Carter?
Yeah, they should have killed her off.
Well, because, she actually... I mean,
she dies of old age.
Her own show as well.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, there was an Agent Carter show that takes place after... it. Like, the first episode is like right after Captain America dies. Down. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't die. He just...
Well, yeah, air quotes dies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I always wondered what happened to her, dude. She was incredibly beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, movie. She still became a special agent. And like, Elaine and I watched the series. It was actually pretty good. But a good portion of it is like, obviously, because it's still the 1940s, there's like a bunch of like people not taking her seriously because she's a woman. And her trying to like do missions and solve. There's like a mystery that she is like kind of a detective, but also like she's not really a detective, but you know, it's like kind of one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, pretty good series.
She definitely made the movie better for me. No cap.
Yeah.
Secret romance. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. It also has Howard Stark, who was also in this movie, is in the show as well. And I really liked Howard Stark in this movie. There's a big difference between, I think, this Howard Stark and the Howard Stark that we see in like the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in the other movies, he's like, they almost portray him as like this old, like Walt Disney-esque person where he's like inventing and he's just like, oh, come, like, we're going to make everything super futuristic and stuff. But then this Howard Stark is just like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to sleep around with all the ladies. And look, I made a flying car, but it doesn't really work. But also, he is a genius. And they even say in the movie, he's like the top weapons contractor for the military. So,
yeah, yeah. It's a Stark name, man. It's a Stark name.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Do I have anything else that's negative?
Go ahead.
It was just kind of like a funny, I wrote typical but cute for this scene. When he was like bringing the plane down, he like dropped that little picture cutout of her on like the dash. And I was like, dude, oh, that's so cringe, but like cute, but fucking cringe. they could have cut that shit out, but I guess it's
old timey cute.
Yeah, it's old timey cute where it's like, oh, here's a black and white penny sized picture of her face. Let me go save the world.
I have some stuff to say about that last scene, but we'll get there. I got some earlier stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. OK, let's do it.
There was a quote that I wrote down that I thought was I really liked, which was when like right after the training montage before he gets the serum. He's sitting on one of the bunks and talking to Dr. Erskine. And he says, "A strong man who has known power all his life will lose respect for that power, but a weak man knows the value of strength."
Yeah, yeah. That was deep.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, me too, me too. I think I wanted to write that down, but the movie kept going, so I kept going. But yeah, that was very good. I like when movies have quotes like that, quite honestly.
Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Erskine, I had a question for you. There are three characters in this movie with German accents, and I wanted to see what your opinion was. There's Dr. Erskine, who is the person who created the Super Soldier Serum, and then there is Johann Schmidt, who is the Red Skull, and then Dr. Zola, who is the scientist that was helping him.
Yeah, I think the only one that I enjoyed accent-wise was the one that invented the serum, that doctor. Okay. Red Skull's, for me, was just way too forced. I don't know. It didn't seem legit. And his, like, small rat scientist, the smaller guy, I mean, it wasn't bad, but I don't know. I don't know. You could tell. I don't know.
All right.
It was very forced. It sounded like this, and the German can't talk differently in American. Like, you know, I don't know. It was cringe. It was like so overdone, you know?
What did you think of them? I mean, I don't
know. Did Elena watch it with you?
No.
No. Okay.
But I don't, like, I don't know that's not a whole lot of people with German accents. So,
dude, they sound Germans that like at least young Germans, right? That know how to speak English, right? And all that jazz. They just have like a very like subtle light accent. And like, well, I mean, almost neither British like.
None of these characters were young, so.
That's fair. That's fair. And it was also 1940s. Maybe. I don't know. Because also, dude, it's kind of crazy how much speech has changed.
Yeah.
Since, like, the sound of English, right? Because, like, listening to some of the, you know, English people talking there, it's like almost with a British slang. And nowadays, it's like, howdy, how y'all doing? Like, I feel like that's turning more into the America that most people know.
I think people have two ideas of what America sounds like. You have people that think the entire country is the South, and so everyone is walking around saying howdy all the time, which right. isn't true. And then you also have like a lot of people's perceived America is California, which like kind of makes sense because obviously California is where movies are made and movies go all around the world. So a lot of people's exposure to American accents is through movies. But also, I feel like whenever I see like videos online of people like trying to do an American accent, they never do like a movie California accent. They do like a Valley Girl California accent.
Yes.
Like people think that America is like, oh my God, they totally like, like people don't all talk like that.
Right. Yeah. That's like one thing, like whenever you talk about speech and like in movies and how they portray certain areas, like I get now, I've always understood it, but like when Americans mimic German accents, it is the most atrocious and annoying thing I can experience because they just do such a bad job at it. Like at least get good, right?
Well, that's what I'm trying to like pull out of you. Cause I don't know if they just like, is this a situation where they just had like not good accents, or was it just like a stereotypical, like, yeah, some German people sound like that, but definitely not all of them.
I think it was stereotypical, like very stereotypical. Very, very stupid.
Do you think that's like a regional thing? Like, is it like certain areas of Germany people have stronger accents, or?
No, quite honestly, I don't know any German that talks like that. I feel like it's when Americans listen to Germans talk and then they speak English with a quote unquote German accent. That's what comes out. You know,
maybe
like
it, Maybe it was more prominent in the 1940s.
Wait, say that again.
I said maybe it was more prominent in the 1940s.
Right, but it's like it's almost the same as like do an Asian accent for me real quick.
I don't know. That's getting into some. I might get in trouble for that.
Yeah, exactly.
If I don't do a good job.
That's what I'm getting into. It's like, you know, it's like that stereotypical like sound, and then you make it even worse, right?
Okay.
It's like, oh, when people are like, oh, Germans talking, like when they say stupid shit like that, you're just kind of like, oh God, like please. Or they make Germans sound like really angry, which I don't think, quite honestly, Germans sound angry all the time. Okay. I mean, we can, but like.
So you're saying it's more of an accuracy thing than a non-exposure thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it's the German accent everyone knows and is like, oh my God, ha, Germans, ha, you know, like. I don't know.
Because like with my other example is like, yes, there are definitely American people that constantly sound like a Valley girl. So it's not like when people do that, it's like you're not wrong. Oh, like people do sound like that. It's just not everyone sounds like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I can't say that no one sounds like that because I'm sure there's one person out there that sounds like that. But more than likely, we don't. We have more of like a British accent.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I feel like they are using the accent you think you hear when we talk German in American language. Does that make sense? Because when I speak English, you don't hear my German accent.
Well, have you ever listened to Werner Herzog?
No.
Because he has a very peculiar accent. I wouldn't say it's like typical of German people, but like when you hear his voice, you know.
Say his name again.
Werner Herzog.
Herzog. Herzog.
Herzog. All right, well.
You see what I'm saying? Like Herzog, like hog. Oh, Germans. Oh, you know, the Herzog. I don't know. Like that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, like even with the names, like the O's get so over exaggerated because you're hearing it wrong. Ah, it's whatever, dude. It's a whole language thing.
Hold on, let me see if I can. I'm gonna send you a clip real quick. Yeah, I just sent you a short video.
Let's see. What the fuck? Chickens are very prone to hypnosis. Okay, yeah, but
like
that, I feel like
that's just how he speaks.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, but see, like none of the O's were over exaggerated in that.
Yeah.
And the S's were Z's because that's how Germans talk.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the movie overdid it a little bit, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, your opinion on German is more valid than mine, I think. So,
yeah, that's fair. It's like, didn't we watch this one movie once? Or like I watched it and I talked to you about it and they were like trying to speak German in it and they did like an awful job. Was that you that I had this conversation with?
I think that was when we were talking about The Last Duel.
Maybe. But yeah, they needed to work on their German in that movie. Holy. I still remember that. Anyway, off track, back on track. German accents were eh. I think the scientist that created the serums was the most accurate and didn't have like too much, like he still sounded like you just described, but not as exaggerated, I would say.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
A+ for Mr. Stanley Tucci, who played Dr. Erskine.
Good for him. Yeah, actual. I like that character quite a lot. A lot. I guess they did kill a character off that I did like because he died quite soon.
He got shot up
in like the most secure, you know, facility in apparently all of the US. A German spy got in there with a gun and shot
this guy. Seemed weird to me. Like, honestly, a German spy breaking in wasn't even what got me. What I thought was a little weird was that like in some random neighborhood in Brooklyn under an antique shop. They have like this huge laboratory. And I'm like, when did they build that? Like, because the laboratory was way more modern than anything else in the area. So I'm like, that means they would have had to like somehow secretly get a construction crew in there and like take out the antique shop without anyone noticing, build the laboratory, and then put the antique shop back.
Yeah. Yeah.
that just seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's like one of those things where it's like, ooh, yeah, you like a speakeasy, you know? It's that kind of vibe. And everyone likes those.
Yeah, but I feel like speakeasies are just like, we just like had a basement and we turned it into a bar.
That's fair.
This is like I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they got all of that equipment in there.
Yeah, no clue. But, you know, you can't say it's not possible because it probably is, honestly.
And we'll see.
Yeah. I also thought like one thing that they did quite like accurately is the like when he gets caught and he like takes his tooth out and he bites it and like dies.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very accurate to how things are done in the spy world. If you're like an agent, because that's like
an actual thing. A lot of experience with cyanide.
No, but like a lot of the movies that I've watched, cyanide is like an actual thing they used.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was accurate. Very accurate.
I did like that because in some movies when they do that, it's like very dramatic and they're like
foam and
they're like so much foam coming out. But like this one was just like a little bit of slobber and bubbles coming out.
Yeah. Which I feel like is accurate. You know, if you kill yourself, some bubbles and slobbers is going to come out. I like that part. And I also liked his submarine. That shit was so sick.
And submarine although, was pretty cool.
Yeah. Again, we can go into like the depths of like, how did he park it there? How did no one see it? How did he know how to get into it? How did he start it so fast?
They're in New York. So I feel like with a tiny submarine like that, you could easily come up through the harbor, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like if he'd park it there, someone would see it. No.
Underwater?
I mean, he'd have to get out of it.
Well, yeah, you just like get out of it and then the submarine like sinks back down low enough where anyone can see it.
Yeah, but anyway,
it's not like the water in New York is super clear.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I feel like someone would see him though get out and get into it. I don't know.
Yeah, but
he got into that thing super fast.
If you were walking down a street and you saw someone get out of a submarine, like what would you do? Nothing. You just go on with your day and you're like, oh, that was
weird. Hell no. I'd probably call the 40s. I'm like, bro, I've seen this movie once and this is a spy.
You're like, I'm pretty sure this is a spy.
Probably a German spy. Let's be real.
No, I would not. If I saw some guy getting out of a submarine, I'd be like, this is not my business.
Really? You just go about your day?
I mean, I'd tell everyone I saw that day about what happened.
But you would.
But like, I'm not trying to like get involved, because like what if it is someone dangerous, what if they like found out that I'm the one that ratted them out? Huh?
Fuck them. Then you shoot them.
Then they shoot me is what I'm worried about.
That's when you say your secret code word and you turn into like the typical American killer spy. Oh yeah. We've seen a movie, we can do it.
All right, okay. So another thing that I thought was a little weird is, and this is not a specific Captain America problem, but like literally every movie ever has this thing where whenever people are like their body is transforming, they always are only focused on the shirt. Like when Captain America goes and he's like, when he's about to get injected, they're like, oh, take your shirt off, because obviously like if he gets all bulky, he's gonna like rip through the shirt or whatever. But then like they're not worried about his scrawny little pants, and like he comes out of the machine and he's all big and jacked, but his pants still fit him perfectly. Like they just magically change size.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I mean, like even in the comics with the Incredible Hulk, like that's the same sort of thing. Like he transforms into the Hulk and his shirt and his shoes and all that rips off. But then he just has like just enough of his shorts so that he's not naked. Yeah. I'm like, why does everyone
in, stretchy pants?
Everyone has stretchy pants, apparently.
Yeah, you know, it's the vibe. Yeah, I don't think of that. That's a good pointer.
Yeah, it just was kind of strange to me that his pants got longer and bigger when he came out of the machine.
Yeah, I feel like they should have put him into like made him strip all his clothes and then put him in like a gown that is like,
yeah, put him in like a hospital gown.
Yeah, that is like meant for like high electricity and whatever radiation, all that stuff, because him just climbing in there in regular clothes and then like walking out of it.
I'm pretty sure he was like wearing a belt too. Like usually they don't like metal objects to be in things, yeah, like that.
They should 100% like stripped him down to like, you know, like made it more hospital-esque.
Or just be like, hey, listen, if everyone would like to avert their eyes for a second, because when he comes out, he is going to be naked.
He will have his cack out and about.
And then they're just like if they like rushed over to him and they're like, oh, here's a gown, not like now that you're out of the machine, to cover you up.
Right. Like they could have done something with that, but they chose not to. So L, like kind of jumping around, like the secret romance that he had with the agent, I loved. Like,
was it secret?
I feel like
they were being pretty open about it.
I don't know. I feel like they were trying to be like very subtle and like, oh, like you can see whatever you want. Like, oh, I'm not jealous or whatever. Like, you're Captain America. You're just a typical American guy who likes to talk to ladies. I think they were just
like trying to be very proper with each other.
Yeah.
Like, it was like very like, oh, I don't want to overstep my boundary. So they're like flirting in a very official sort of way. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that's what made it like super cute.
Yeah. But I don't think it was like secret. I think it was just them being overly polite with each other.
Yeah, overly polite, low-key flirting. I think that's what I meant when I said secret. Like, it's not out there. It's not hitting you in the face, but it's like, you know, it's there. Hey, there's something there. I did like their romance.
Unlike that that other agent in the when he was trying to talk to the military guy.
Oh my God.
And she like grabs him and makes out with him.
That's not it.
Not quite very honestly, subtle.
Like, yeah, that's not subtle. And that was not hot, in my opinion. She was like, oh my God, let me repay you for all the women in America that love you and should do this for you. Like, bro, what? That's rape. That's sexual abuse, harassment.
It's true.
Let's see here. Most of my notes are like badass breakout scene, you know, like when they rescued all those people. That was pretty freaking cool.
I did think it was a little, since we're talking about that scene, I did think it was a little weird that I don't know why they had so many prisoners at a Hydra lab. Like, it seemed obviously like with Bucky they were like experimenting on him, but like it seemed like all of them were just like normal Nazi prisoners. So is it like anyone who gets captured gets sent here, or just like if you happen to have a run-in with some Hydra guys?
Yeah,
like I didn't really understand that, and I don't understand. Like, it felt to me like, if like, fine if you want to experiment on someone, but you should like, you should probably have your prison in a separate place from all of your technology.
Right. Yeah, because they just had like giant holes in the ground where the guards would walk over, where it was like central.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they just didn't expect anyone to try to come in or break out.
That's true.
Which, I mean, I could see, having seen all the base, that shit was crazy. When, I'm going to jump kind of to the endish, when Captain America like crashes that giant plane into the ground, right? How did it not blow up? I don't understand. Strong
plane, man. It did.
Yeah.
Super strong.
Super strong plane. That makes no sense to me. Not a fan.
You want to know what doesn't make any sense to me is when they had all of those like piloted bombs, and then
oh my god, yeah,
Captain America like rips the guy out of one of them and then drives the bomb back into the plane.
And
he crashed back into the plane. I'm like, how did that bomb not explode just now? Yep. When he crashed in there.
Yep. I mean, maybe he didn't have like, maybe when you're flying it, you have to turn the fuse on and
yeah, that could blah. Be it could like it could be like it's not like an impact bomb. Maybe you have to like specifically like flip a switch or press a button or something.
Yeah, like right before impact, blow the shit up. Yeah. Let's see here. I don't know. I the one thing about this movie, I'll be real, is I don't think it had a lot of depth. You didn't have to think to watch the movie, right? And I feel like when you don't think to watch a movie, it just makes it all like.
Well, I think that's a. I think that is a common issue with any movie where you have Nazis as the bad guys. Like obviously, like we were talking about before, these aren't like official Nazis, but like stand-in Nazis. But right. Pretty much any movie where you're like the bad guys are Nazis, then you like you can just do anything because no one's like you're never going to come to a point where you're like. Wait, are we doing something wrong? Like maybe they have a point. No, the Nazis don't have a point. Like it's very black and white in movies like that where you're like, these are the bad guys and these are the good guys.
Yeah, I mean that's true. But like there was no point during the movie where we had to think, right? And maybe that's what I don't like about some of these Marvel movies or like superhero comics and stuff. It's because you don't have to think. I don't know. Like how do also that makes sense, right?
It's like a popcorn movie.
Exactly, a popcorn movie. You sit there, you're like nice, and then you leave. And everyone understands it on the same level, right? Yeah. Whereas like Inception or something like that, you have to watch that shit like 8 times to even get your mind wrapped around like all the possibilities in the movie and like the subtleties and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think in more recent years, Marvel has been moving towards that. Like some of their newer stuff has
really.
They definitely are having more complex villains. Like for example, and I think this is on my list, so we'll talk about it at some point. But like with Black Panther, like you really see the point of view of the bad guy, and so you're like, well. I don't necessarily know if maybe he's got a point. Like it talks about like international politics and like explores the responsibility of sharing information with people and stuff like that. And it's like they definitely have some more mature ideas in newer films.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're moving in the right direction, but. This one was just too easy for me to watch and like really critique. That's what I'm getting at. I feel like if there's nothing you need to think about, then you're just at that point, you're just critiquing like maybe the storyline or the cinematography.
Yeah.
Which I mean, the cinematography in this film was good. I didn't think that it was bad at all. It can never. Yeah.
When Captain America was chasing after the car with the spy in it. I started like doing some research while I was watching the movie because I was like, how fast is he running? Like, what kind of speeds are we looking at here? So I tracked down the cars that they were using as taxis in the 1940s.
Top speed maybe like what, 75?
The Checker Model A. Uh-huh. And it like apparently the Checker company produced the Model A in 38 and 39. And then after that, like every other manufacturer had transferred from producing automobiles to producing personnel transport and tanks and things like that. Like right. They were like, oh, we're going to make war stuff now.
Up with the war effort. Right. That's how you stay in business.
And so pretty much. The Model A was like the default taxi, at least in New York, until after the war.
Okay.
So chances are the taxi that he was chasing was a Checker Model A. But unfortunately, there is only one Model A that still exists today. And obviously no one's driving it around. It's like in a collection.
Right. What's the top speed?
I searched so hard and I was unable to find a top speed for that car.
I mean, roughly in that era, what's the top speed of a car?
I'd say sub, like probably around 70. I found a couple lists of like the fastest cars in the 1940s, and there was like one special car that could go like almost 400 miles an hour.
No,
and then
no,
there was like that's not true. There was like, well, it was like specifically, like it was one car. It wasn't like a model. It was like someone made one car to break a record, and they were able to get up to 400.
The fastest car today is 331 miles per hour.
What's the current land speed record? Well, that's what I'm talking. Like Bugatti is like a car model. Like people can buy Bugattis.
Wait. No, this I'm is talking- the SSC Tuatara. Tuatara. I mean, fastest land record, but that's like with like jets on the side and shit. Like that's basically a plane on wheels.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like that's the kind of car that the 400 mile per hour one was. Like they built it specifically for the purpose of breaking the land speed record.
Gotcha.
But there were a couple like high end cars like Maseratis and stuff back then that could get up to like 140, 150 maybe. But most cars were sub 100.
All right, so 1946, the fastest car was the Healey Elliott at 104 miles per hour. So it says here also that in the 50s, the top speed of cars averaged was around 65. In the
50s. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, in the 50s. Yeah, I mean, so probably the same in the 40s. But right. Yeah, so in... there was a car called the Daimler-Benz T80. World-renowned German auto racer Hans Stuck had a pet project that was to take the world land speed record, and he convinced Mercedes-Benz to build a special racing car for the attempt.
What the
Officially
hell?
Officially sanctioned by Hitler himself, the project was started in 1937.
Oh, shit. This thing looks crazy.
And it says it had a top speed of 393.
Wow, that's actually insane. Did they actually drive it on land though?
I mean, how else would they figure out the top speed if they never did it?
I mean, on what's it called? You can do it indoors.
Let's see here.
Probably not.
By 39, the T80 was fully complete. It was powered by a massive 45.5 liter inverted V12.
Oh my god. 45 liter.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't find anything about them actually driving it on this website. I'm sure I could do a little more research on it, but
no, they did. They actually drove it.
Okay.
Oh, that's but crazy. Yeah. Very cool. But it so I mean he was running probably like what 40 miles an hour through the city.
So that was the second thing I looked up was because I couldn't find the top speed for the Checker Model A, I just looked up how fast can Captain America run, and apparently according to like the movie producers, Steve Rogers can comfortably run at 26 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
If he was sprinting, he could get to around 40, but like for a sustainable run, he can do 26.
It's like a jog from his 26 miles per hour. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, impressive. Okay.
But also, like, even if the car could go 70, like, we're talking about dipping in and out of Brooklyn streets. Like, I doubt that he would have been able to make it to top speed anyway. So,
that's true. Yeah.
But that was just a little thing that, that I was thinking about while I was watching it.
A little fun research thing. I thought about that too. I was like, this man is actually just running the speed of this car and catching up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, we see at the end, he does have a limit because, like, He couldn't run and catch up to that plane.
That's true. And then he got picked up by this insane car.
Yeah. During the when he was like going around and trying to sell bonds, and there was like all the singing girls, and then it like turns into this thing where he makes a joke and then punches Hitler.
Yeah.
So that is. Like the punching Hitler thing is actually based off of the cover art for one of the Captain America comics.
Oh, really? Okay. Now we're getting to like facts. Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yeah. So that was just like a little callback they did there.
Smart. Low-key, very low-key. Wait, did you like know that or did you like figure that out while reading about this movie?
No, I knew that.
Oh, well.
I had to find the picture to send to you, but I knew that.
How'd you know that?
Because I know things.
You know so much things and stuff.
Another quote that I really liked was when he was when he was getting jealous after that girl forcibly kissed him, and then Agent Carter got mad, and he talks about like, well, how do I know that you and Stark aren't fondueing?
And then some guy had to explain to him what a fondue was.
and then the next scene he's talking to Howard Stark and he says, fondue is just cheese and bread, my friend.
Yep. He's like, wait, what?
I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. When that came up, I giggled too. This movie, quite honestly, didn't have like a lot of jokes in it.
I feel like there was like situational humor.
Yeah.
People weren't like quippy, you know?
Yeah.
Like no one was like an Iron Man kind of a character.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I feel like they needed that though. They needed some humor in this movie. I feel like it was very like action heavy and all that stuff, but it was pretty dry, like dry cut, in my opinion.
I don't think they needed Tony Stark person.
Not someone like Tony Stark, but more humor, like jokes.
Well, I just thought that like the humor was like very like dry. It wasn't like,
yeah,
here's a joke, everyone laugh. It was just like little moments, like even at the end, like when he's about to jump on the plane and then Peggy kisses him, and then the general driving the car is like, I'm not kissing you.
I wrote that down. I wrote that down. Yeah, he's like, well, don't look at me, I ain't doing that.
It was like, I feel like most of the jokes in this movie were like things like that, where it's just like someone says something and it's funny in the situation, but it's not like,
yeah, it's not like a joke.
Purposely joke. A joke. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did enjoy a little bit that Captain America was just like straight up killing bitches. Like, I feel like in a lot of superhero movies, they try and make it seem,
oh, like as they're if, all like, humans and love everyone kind of thing.
Don't like, hurt oh, anyone. Yeah, like they'll beat the shit out of someone, but they're like, oh, I'm not going to kill anyone. I'll just like knock them out. Or like, oh, this person is
like Batman.
Like, oh, he's kind of like Batman, but like maybe a little less extreme, because I feel like most of the Avengers have definitely killed people. But also another thing is a lot of times, especially in these movies, they'll like make it so that you don't feel bad. Like, it's like, oh, well, you don't have to feel bad about them killing these people because these are aliens, so they're like, they're not people. Or like, oh, these are robots, so they can like tear their limbs off, but it's not graphic, right, because there's just wires inside.
Yeah.
But in this movie, like, he's running around and like straight up shooting people and like throws a guy through a propeller.
Yeah, this guy, yeah, he is a badass in this movie, I'm not gonna cap. He was definitely someone you didn't want to fondue with or mess around with.
But back to the giant plane, because you had mentioned how when he crashed, it like didn't blow up or anything.
Yeah, SMH.
And I was thinking about this while I was watching it as well, is because he gets on the phone and they're like, oh, we'll find you a safe place to land. And he's like, no, we can't land. A bunch of people are going to get hurt, because he looks at the screen and there's like 10 bombs or something. He's like, no, we can't land. These bombs are going to explode and people are going to get hurt. But then like he's specifically says later that he's like in the middle of nowhere over the ocean. And I'm like, what if you just drop all the bombs right now? Like, right, just drop them into the ocean and then you're fine.
Yeah. Or just like skydive the plane out and jump, you know?
I mean, yeah, that too. I guess maybe he just like, he didn't know that there was an autopilot switch, because we like saw Red Skull flip the switch earlier for autopilot. Right. But I'm like, if you just turn that off, you can jump out of the plane and it'll crash on its own.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
But maybe he didn't know that there was an autopilot. And so he was like, trying to force the plane down, but the autopilot was trying to force it up, and so he had to fight it the whole time.
Like, imagine not seeing this giant thing that says autopilot. Oh gosh.
So that was a little ridiculous, but also
then he was like, it'll blow up, it'll hurt people if I land it somewhere else, and then he crashes it and it doesn't blow up, doesn't even catch fire. It's just
that, that was the other thing, is because all of the bombs were like, they weren't automatic bombs. Like, we saw, like, they were piloted, like someone would have had to specifically sit in the bomb and drive it to its destination.
Yep. And we already saw that, like, hard impact doesn't blow it up. So
I don't know. It didn't seem like that dangerous to me.
Yeah.
But dangerous or not, Haley Atwell, who played Peggy Carter, she freaking acted her ass off in that last scene. And like, even after like writing down my notes about how ridiculous it was, like, her saying goodbye to Steve, like, always makes me a little teary eyed.
Oh yeah. That part, it was touching.
Yeah. She did a great job.
Yeah. He did not do a good job. He did not do a good job in the last scene. He was like, yeah, we can meet on this Saturday and, you know, do this and that. He's like, okay, bye. And then it just cuts out.
Yeah, well. So yeah, that's what I've got.
I think that's all that I got too.
Bro, you were out like 30 minutes ago.
I was checked out. Well, I wasn't checked out. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I'll read you my notes. Like, killed himself with his tooth. Wow. What the fuck kind of laser gun was that? Loving their secret romance. Badass breakout scene. Agent Carter. Holy moly.
Holy moly.
Redhead guy has great sun while all soldiers are, has great aim while all soldiers are missing it. We talked about that. Why is the
guy like the red skull?
True. Dude, sometimes I didn't understand why the agent was there. Like, the last scene where, like, they went and raided Red Skull's, like, main empire, right?
Yeah.
The agent Carter was still there.
Yeah, I don't know. I like, I don't really understand what her position was. So I just assumed, like, she's like high enough rank. Like, it also didn't necessarily make sense that the freaking general was there. Like,
right. You never bring your generals to the front line.
Yeah.
Ever.
It was a cool action scene, so whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah. Pretty decent. You don't have to think. You just kind of sit there and watch it, and it's a good, enjoyable time. Wait, what would you rate this movie? Like, on your own scale?
Let's see. Did we do ratings for Iron Man?
I don't know if we did, actually.
Oh, well. Oops. I'd say I'd put Captain America at like a 79, maybe.
Okay.
It's like not. Well, I don't know. It's probably an 8. I'd say at 8 out of 10. It's a B.
Yeah, it's a C for me. It's a C. It's a 7. Straight up.
I don't know. It was like you said, it wasn't super deep and it wasn't very funny, but like, the lack of jokes didn't bother me that much, and it got a lot of credit for me just off of the performances. I thought that like all of the actors did a really good job.
Yeah, I think they did too. Besides the German accents here and there.
Besides the German accents.
But quite honestly, like, that didn't annoy me too much. But if we start talking about it, will annoy me.
This is a 4 now just because of the accents.
Fucking 4. Nah, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, and it definitely helps you get a better understanding of who Steve Rogers is and like what his values are.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to trivia.
Trivia, let's go. Although we've already kind of crossed up a bunch of a trivia.
That is true. Also, apparently the that giant car that they were driving at the end there,
yeah,
was like a custom built vehicle, and the car was 25 feet long and 8 feet wide.
Dude, what?
It says the car needed a 700 horsepower Drexler engine just to move it.
That's unreal. I mean, they were going for fucking crazy and they got it. They got it for sure.
The director took it for a drive and said, It has about a 38-foot turning radius.
Oh my god. That's insane. That's yeah, that's not street legal at all.
No.
Wow, that's crazy. And yeah. I mean, they did that for like, it caused drama in the movie. Every time we saw that thing, it was like, holy, like, this is it. Yeah.
And I like when they were escaping the factory and Red Skull gets on that like weird helicopter plane thing. And then Zola's like, well, where am I going to sit? And he throws him his keys and he's like, not a scratch.
Yeah. I was like, and I was like high key, like thinking that it was like it shot up and stuff. But the second time that we saw it, it didn't have a scratch on it. So
yeah, they took care of that car.
He took good care of it. Yeah. Got out of a battle scene without a scratch. It's kind of crazy.
Our next fact here is that Chris Evans actually declined the role 3 times before accepting. It wasn't because he disliked it, but because he feared what the effects of the sudden increase in fame would have on his private life. Robert Downey Jr., who played Tony Stark, actually convinced him to take the part, saying that he would gain the freedom to sign on to any other role that he wanted afterwards.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, yeah, if you become Captain America, you're going to be really famous and it will have an effect on you. But if you get all of this freaking Marvel money, then when you're done, because you're so famous, you can literally do any movie you want.
Like pick and choose.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I would 100% get on a movie like that. Like, I mean, then again, I'm not famous, so I don't know the effects that it would have on my private life, but definitely has some.
Different celebrities handle things very differently. And with some of them, you can tell that they're just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care that I'm famous. And then other ones are like, they really, like, they struggle with not being able to have any privacy.
Right.
The huge plane at the end is known as a flying wing.
Yep.
Because it is all wing, no fuselage and no tail. Companies began experimenting with them back in 1910, and during World War II, the Americans, Canadians, Germans, Russians, and British all had their own prototypes, but none of them ever made it to operational status. The first truly operational flying wing was the B-2 stealth bomber.
Yep, that was America. And that thing is insane to look at. I mean, this thing is unreal. But they had quite a few versions of the flying wing. They had some that were turboprops, some that were push prop, and then some that were straight up jet engine.
Yeah.
I mean, in World War II, they figured out how to, the Hitler army, the scientists, first jet engines came out of that.
Yeah.
Manufactured in a mountain. So.
Apparently the director said on the audio commentary that the experiments performed by Zola are what enabled Bucky to survive the fall.
Wait, I didn't know he had experiments done to him too.
Yeah, because remember when he was going through and releasing the prisoners, and then he goes into that room and Bucky's like on the table and he's like going crazy and he's like got needles next to him and shit.
Yes. Okay, I remember that. Okay, so he is like a superhuman now too?
Sort of.
In a good or bad way?
All of that, we'll talk about Bucky in future movies because he does come back. But
he does, okay.
And then it says also here, the concept of a manned flying bomb was actually developed in Nazi Germany. And there was also a Japanese design for a manned torpedo. Obviously, both of them were designed to be suicide weapons.
Yep. I knew about the manned torpedo. I did not know that the Europeans had those.
I did not know that. So I think I also at one point heard about manned torpedoes, but I definitely did not know about the airborne manned bombs.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I mean, it reminds me of you know, the Japanese, they had their famous what are they called, they were their fighter pilots, and they were kamikaze. Like suicide bombers.
But there's a difference between just like crashing your plane into something and like actually fair. Your plane is a bomb.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, now I'll share the trash facts.
Let's do it.
So this says here, Hugo Weaving's character in this film is named Schmidt. In the Matrix trilogy, he plays a character named Smith, which is the English translation of Schmidt.
Okay. What? Bro, every time I think of Smith now, it's just like an evil name. because of the Matrix.
Well, now he's just a German Smith. So there you go.
Wow, look at the name translations.
When Steve and Bucky Barnes visit the exposition, there is a red flying car developed by Howard Stark. This is a nod to S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Phil Coulson and his beloved flying red Corvette Lola, which is featured in the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You said you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
Do you remember Phil Coulson having a red car?
Yeah.
That flies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that a nod to it, though?
It's not. These people are stupid because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out after this movie.
Right.
So there's, if anything, Coulson's car is a nod to this car, not the other way around.
Oh, no. But let's be real. That flying car scene was kind of sick. Although it did go bad, but it was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. All right. This is the trashiest of all trash facts right here.
Oh, no.
During his training, Steve Rogers pulls the pin out of a flagpole, enabling him to grab the flag and ride back to base. Unfortunately, that also means that the flag hits the ground, which is a huge mistake. You never let a flag, standard, or banner touch the ground because it dishonors it. The only time it can touch the ground is if you die defending it. What? However, since this is not an American flag, but a flag for the camp, the protocol is different, and therefore Rogers made no mistake.
Okay, that's really bad. That's just like, really bad.
Why did you give us all that information? Be like, oh, huge mistake. And then at the end, you're like, JK, but, he actually didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. JK, he's safe. He's safe. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was stupid.
Gosh.
Someone just wanted to show off their flag knowledge.
Yeah. Flag knowledge is pretty good knowledge, though, you know? Some people don't know that.
I mean, yeah. If,
but I
if
feel like it's not also aware, kind of like overdone.
Technically, I'm sure every country has their own laws regarding their flag, but like, yeah, like not touching the ground is one of them, but also at least here in the US, like the image of the flag is also protected. So you're like technically not supposed to, you're not supposed to wear the flag.
Wait, you know what I mean? Really?
Yeah. So like, obviously it's especially, it's especially disrespectful if you like take an actual flag and like cut a hole in it and wear it as a poncho or something like that, which freaking Kid Rock did at the Super Bowl one year. So again, just shows how little people enforce flag law. But even something like if you get like a pair of swim trunks that look like the American flag, like that's also technically against the law.
Wait, what? Okay, that's actually like, mind blowing. That should be in the facts.
You're not supposed to have clothes that are that have the image of the flag.
I did not know that. What? That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to call anyone out and anyone and everyone out that I see wearing a flag. I'm like, did you know?
Criminal.
You're a fucking criminal. Anti-USA person. Oh, interesting. That's a really good fact that I did not know.
I only found that out like last year. I don't even remember how I was looking at flag stuff.
Dude, what the fuck? Okay, man, sometimes the shit that you read and like look at doesn't make sense to me. Sometimes I'm like, why?
It's for occasions just like this. Well, that is what I've got for trivia. So if you would like to share your opinion on this movie, or if you would like to vote on the poll that I will be putting on Twitter, you can contact us by sending an email to casualfanaticpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at cashfanpod.
Yep.
If you would like to support us, you can leave us a rating, preferably 5 stars, but you know, be honest. Leave a review on whatever platform you are listening to us on, and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And also, word of mouth is what helps us to grow our audience, so please tell people about our podcast, tell them how amazing we are, and especially if you know anyone that is a big Marvel fan, now's the time to send them our way.
Yeah, spread the words, because we're going to go through more of them.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.